I'm going to talk about the well-being project, or Proyecto Bienestar, and the project that we followed up with, which was to take the issues that came out of our project, which was aimed at assessing the community's concerns and turning them into some kind of a message that would be useful to the community. I'd like to identify Teodoro Martinez Chavez, who was the person who did the writing of these. She had some other roles too, but she did most of the writing of the novellas. And then Rachel Schwartz, who was the project coordinator from the University of Washington, who did a great job in keeping a very complicated project alive during some very troubling times. The Proyecto Bienestar, or the Well-Being Project, is a community-based project that we began with support from what I thought was a very inspired RFA from NIHS, which provided us the opportunity to actually ask communities what they thought was important and spend money actually finding that out. We didn't have to go in with a hypothesis. We could actually go in with just the question, what matters to you? We spent 4 years doing that, and from that developed a research agenda that the community adopted and approved. And these are the partners in Proyecto Bienestar. That symbol at the top, which is Proyecto Bienestar, was one of the major accomplishments of the project, because it took us about 6 months to finally agree with all the about all the components that would go into that particular symbol. Well, the project participants include the Pacific Northwest Agricultural Safety and Health Center, which is the representative from the University of Washington, the Yakima Valley Farm Workers Clinic, which was our clinical partner, Heritage College at the time we began the study, and we take full credit for them now being Heritage University, and then the KDNA, or the National Center for, or the Northwest Center for Community Education, which is the symbol here. The strategy that we had for developing this material was to first collect key informant interviews first from our community advisory board, then detailed key informant interviews from recommended people from our community advisory board who would also be well informed about the community's needs, and then a survey conducted by students from the local university, or then the local college, in a project called Connects. Connects was a program that the Farm Worker Clinic put on annually to connect students to the health professions. So we took responsibility for teaching the public health aspect of that class, and in the process developed a survey, which then, as their culminating project, went out and collected data from the community. So they collected a number of surveys, and we created an unprioritized list, which we then submitted to a community town hall meeting, which included first an open microphone opportunity for people in the community to add to the list any of the things that we might have missed. We had about two additions, neither of which ended up high on the priority list, but we did get a couple of new additions, and through a nominative process identified four different topics which the community felt were the prioritized topics, and those were pesticides, workplace injuries, workplace illnesses, and abusive workplaces. That list, endorsed then by the community, was brought back to the CAB for any reorganization or modification. Our community advisory board endorsed it in full with no further recommendations, and that became our list. So these were the issues that we addressed. And when the opportunity came out for developing a communication process through the RFA that we responded to, we obviously had an opportunity, because of our partner, to address some of these various issues. However, the process indicated that we would work with the CAB, the Community Advisory Board, to identify what issue they wanted to do and talk about. Even though these were our four prioritized issues, they still had the liberty to change those. The strength of the approach we took, we used radio novellas to reach out to the population and talk to them about these different issues, educating them about the different issues in their community. The strengths of radio include the accessibility, because anybody can turn it on and it's free. It was locally based, because our community radio there is the only Spanish-speaking radio station in the Valley that's nonprofit. It was affordable, obviously, and it relies on spoken word, which is, for many of our constituents, the only information that they get, because they don't read either in English or Spanish. And we had the opportunity for it to be reinforcing as well, because we could repeat the presentations. Obviously, we were playing to our strengths because we used Radio KDNA, our community partner, as the producer of these, La Voz del Campesino, the voice of the campesino, or the voice of the community or the farm worker, is their logo. And this is their brand new building, which actually came to being during the midst of our partnership, and we take full credit for that as well. I don't know if I put that in my report, did I? I might have forgotten that. I'll put that in the next one. So the topics we chose were air pollution, water pollution, pesticide exposure, and workplace abuse. You'll see that these two were priorities that came out of the listing. Water pollution was not on the list, but it became a very prominent issue as a result of a CARE One project that followed on our original project, where we started looking at water pollution, nitrate contamination, and well water contamination in the Yakima Valley. So that became a very prominent issue as a result of some of the other work that we were doing. And asthma and air pollution, which was an extremely high priority for one of our clinical partners, the Yakima Valley Farm Workers Clinic, and they had been getting repeated requests for information on that, so we chose those four, and that's what the CAB really recommended we do. Now, KDNA had a lot of experience in radio novellas. They had done a number of them. Corre Coyetito, which is about a disabled child. That's the one on the left here. And then Usted No Está Solo, that means run, little coyote. Then Usted No Está Solo, you're not alone, about pregnancy. And then Proteger a Su Bebé, which is protect your baby, also about babies. And then Tres Hombres Sin Fronteras, which was the most controversial one that they'd done, which was about gay men. And this is, excuse me, three men without boundaries or without borders is what Tres Hombres Sin Fronteras means. And this was about AIDS in gay men. But Radio KDNA does the production and the interviews and put together these novelas. So this is just something that I thought was a pretty interesting thing that motivated us to some degree about the use of non-formal communication through radio. So what we did was we developed a family for the novela, and they faced these issues over a period of time in four different installments, actually five, because we ultimately got extra money to do yet another installment. And they were composed of the Chaviras. And the family Chavira, the name specifically Chavira, was chosen because it was a very uncommon Hispanic name in the valley. And we considered that it would be a marker of hearing the novela. So we would use it later as our marker for whether or not a person had actually listened and potentially heard. And these were the different people, a few of these other people. They were composed of a variety of different people, and I'll go over that. That's me. I was Señor Mateo. I was the wealthy landowner who happened to speak Spanish. Anyway, we did a pre-broadcast survey where we asked people a variety of questions about their knowledge of various things. We interviewed. We used students to do the interviews. We interviewed 295 people in the community. It was a convenience sample. That was their average age. They were mostly female. Most of them had children. Many responded that they listened to KDNA, the Spanish speakers, which was the predominance of the population. Most were currently employed and born in Mexico. A smaller percentage completed high school. 25% had worked as pesticide handlers or applicators, and almost 40% of them reported having been made sick at some point by pesticides in the past. We talked about workplace abuse, and a number of them reported, almost a quarter reported being discriminated against, and several reported supervisors either harassing them or making sexual advances upon them. So we did the survey, we did the novelas, we did four novelas, and introduced them to the Chavira family. We told them a tale about the different topics, and then went back out and resurveyed our population. We got 156 surveys in follow-up. About the same proportion of people listened to KDNA. 35% recognized the Chavira family, where 11% had recognized it before. We had we had reached some of them at least. 30% could name at least one of the topics of the novelas, and 63% did identify NIH as either setting up clinics or supporting research, as opposed to only 35% before. I have to say we were a little puzzled about setting up clinics, because NIH generally doesn't set up clinics, but it just happened to be during the period of time that NIH was setting up clinics. Because they were responding to the oil disaster, and they were actually setting up clinics. So my guess is this was contaminated by the information that came around that topic. We also asked about pesticide exposure. A relatively high percentage already knew that pesticide exposure could cause learning disabilities, so we had a very marginal effect there. Blue baby syndrome, it improved a little bit about their knowledge of blue baby syndrome. Nitrate contamination of the wells was a particularly important topic. And twice as many said that they would be willing to participate in a study if asked. We thought that was pretty good. On several of the questions, though, they did worse. So these were obviously, I'm telling you, the best results. So radio may be heard, it may not be listened to, but I think we had some evidence that it was in fact listened to by the people that were interviewed. What this did do for the Proyecto Bienestar, it continued to bridge and provide activity, a meaningful activity for this community organization. We had a number of different people who participated very actively. For instance, the coordinator, Teodora, was the dog. It was an obnoxious little dog that barked in the background all the time throughout the Chavira family interviews, but she was the dog. And then Doña de la Cruz, who was one of our cab members, was a cab member. The receptionist at the radio was Francisco. He was one of the children. I was the very kind orchard owner. And Panache funded a fifth radio program after that, which focused on genetic information and genetic research. We really had a tough time during this period because KDNA Radio went through a transition of leadership, and the radio staff went out on strike for a period of time. And it was a disaster, and so it was really hard to get this thing through. I think we would have done a lot better had we not faced those particular obstacles. In fact, I really owe it to Rachel that this thing even got done, because Rachel and Teodoro worked pretty hard. The last one was actually taped in the basement of one of the producers because of the disruption at the radio station. It did air, but it was a particularly challenging time. Weaknesses. We had a limited time to run the novelas. I think we would have preferred, particularly towards the end, we wanted to do sort of a summary program where we did a month worth of clips. We didn't get a chance to do that because of time and a late start. We did not have a random sample of listeners. However, I think it was a relatively representative sample, even though it was just a convenience sample. They were very similar year to year. We found a substantial percentage of people who recognized the Chaviras to start with, even in our baseline sampling. And I think what I would do in the future is go back out with a list of names. We didn't think we would have to do that, but go out with a list of names that were Hispanic names and say, which ones don't you recognize, or which ones do you recognize, and pick the one that people least recognized. But I found that to be a pretty ingenious marker for finding out whether people actually listened and had heard the program. So I thought that was pretty strong. It was disrupted terribly by the troubles in the radio station. And that's more or less the summary of what we did. And do you want to take questions now or wait?
Take one or two questions okay. Right now.
Oh, by the way, these are hops. These are how hops are grown, if you've never seen that before. Yes?
I was just curious, like you had your topics chosen then for them, any indicators that you were assessing them on? It looks like you addressed pesticides and learning disabilities in children, nitrates, and blue baby syndrome. How did you decide the content of that and how to go after it?
The content of the novelas?
Yeah, like why did you decide to focus on pesticides and children?
That was the CABS decision. Okay. Community Advisory Board said, these are the things we'd like you to do. Yes?
Do you have information on who listens the most to the radio novelas? What topic was preferred by women, by men?
No, we did not. Good question. We should have included that, but we did not. No. Would have been interesting. Other questions?
So, Matt, I'm going to ask a question.
Oh, boy. He's a project officer.
Are there still plans to continue running these novellas, or is it over and done with now that the project is over and done with?
I don't have an answer to that question yet. We're literally just finishing up the last one now. It's off the project budget because we added another one at the end, and it didn't come into the evaluation. So they're basically the property of the radio station at this point, and they can run them again. They are on the website, and my understanding is you can download them and listen to them if you choose. But I'm not sure what the plan is. And not being any longer part of Proyecto Bienestar, I don't have any authority whatsoever to say how we'll do it. Hopefully they will use them again. I thought they were reasonably well produced, except for the dog. Other questions? Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, John.